speaking will be focusing on the Haftorah of the coming Shabbos. But by way of Hakdamah, I wanted to begin with a general introduction regarding the obligation of reciting the Haftorah. The Mishnah does mention it, it's found in Megillah and Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us and delineates the various number of aliyahs that you have to have on a given day when you read the Torah, and when you're obligated to recite the Haftorah. So the Mishnah tells us in the very beginning of the third parak of Megillah that there are different numbers of aliyahs that you find on different days of the year. On, for example, a Monday and Thursday, Motzei Shabbat, so then you have three aliyahs. On a time of a Rosh Chodesh or a Chol HaMoed, you have four. On a Yom Tov, you have five. On Yom Kippur, you have six. On Shabbos, you have seven. The Mishnah tells us you're never allowed to have any less than that number, but at times, you are allowed to go ahead and add to the number of aliyahs that you have, to have hosafos. And similarly, the Mishnah tells us that at times it is inappropriate to recite a Haftorah, but yet on Shabbos and Yom Tov, for example, and on Yom Kippur as well, then it is appropriate to recite the Haftorah. What exactly is the criteria that governs both of these halachos, when you're allowed to add the number of aliyahs and when you have the Haftorah? So Rashi writes, there is a single factor which is relevant in both of these areas, and that is the concept of Bita Malacha. Rashi writes the following, that normally speaking, when you read the Torah, people have to go to work, and therefore you are not allowed to prolong the Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, on a regular time, on Monday and Thursday, you can't add to the three aliyahs that you have. And the same is true when it comes even on Rosh Chodesh, and even when it comes to a Chol HaMoed. But since the Gemara tells us under certain conditions one is allowed to work on Chol HaMoed, so therefore it is inappropriate to prolong the Kriyas HaTorah. But Rashi writes, when you're dealing with a Shabbos, or Yom Kippur, or Yom Tov, where there is an Isra Malacha, and people are not rushing out to go to work, then Rashi's view is you are allowed to go ahead and add to the number of aliyahs that you have. And similarly, Rashi writes, it's for that very same reason that at those times of the year you have a Haftorah. To have a Haftorah at other points results in Bittul Malacha, unnecessarily delaying people, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when people are at leisure, no one is going to work, then you're allowed to add the number of aliyahs, and also at those times you have a Haftorah as well. The Ram points out that according to Rashi, that means very simply that not only can you add to the number of aliyahs that you have on Shabbos, but even on Yom Kippur, even Yom Tov, you're allowed to have hosafos as well. The Ram points out here in this Mishnah, in the Gilan Daf Chaf Aleph, that there is a second view that disagrees. The Ram argues that why is it that you're not allowed to have hosafos generally? The Ram writes the following Kiddush, that the number of aliyahs that you have on a given day reflects the Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity that the day possesses. And therefore, a regular day has three aliyahs. Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, which is somewhat higher, that has four. Yom Tov, which is higher, has five. Yom Kippur, which is higher, which has six. And Shabbos, which is the highest level of Kedusha, that has seven aliyahs. So therefore, the Ram writes that the reason that normally speaking you're not allowed to add to the number of aliyahs that you have is by doing so you will infringe on a higher Kedushas Hayom. If, for example, on a Monday and Thursday you add an aliyah, it's as if you're equating it with the number of aliyahs that you should have on a Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. If you add to Chol HaMoed, it's as if you are equating it to Yom Tov. And therefore you're never allowed to have hosafos, with the exception, the Ram says, of Shabbos. Because when it comes to Shabbos, then you have hit the peak. That is the highest number of aliyahs that you have, and therefore by adding to the prescribed aliyahs on Shabbos, you are in no way conflicting with any other Kedushas Hayom. The difference between Rashi and the Ram is, what about Yom Tov? According to Rashi, you're allowed to have hosafos on Yom Tov because people are not going to work, and therefore you can add to the number of aliyahs. However, according to the Ram, that's not the case. You're not allowed to have hosafos on Yom Tov. The Mishnah is a little bit ambiguous, because the Mishnah just says that mosifin aleihem, but the Mishnah doesn't tell us when hosafos are permissible. The Ram writes only on Shabbos, and Rashi writes on Shabbos, and on Yom Kippur, and on Yom Tov. And Slavetchik had a very interesting comment regarding the minute that we have, that normally speaking, we don't add to the number of aliyahs that you have on Yom Tov. But there is one Yom Tov where there's an exception, and that's the Yom Tov of Simchas Torah, that we have five aliyahs. And then we go ahead and we have the Chasam Torah and the Chasam Reishis, and we have the Maftir and so on. There we have more than the five number of aliyahs that are normally allotted to a Yom Tov. So why is it? What's the basis, the justification of our minhag? That on the one hand, on every other Yom Tov, we limit the number of aliyahs to five, because we assume, as the Ran writes, that you don't add to the number of aliyos other than Shabbos, but yet when it comes to Simchas Torah, we do. So Shloveitchik pointed out that there is something unique about the Kriyas HaTorah and Simchas Torah. That what do you lay normally on Yom Tov? Normally speaking, on Yom Tov, you always lay that parsha of the Chumash that deals with the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Tov. You read from Parshas Amor, you read from Parshas Re'eh, you always deal with Inyan HaDiyoma. What is unique about the Kriyas HaTorah that you have in Simchas Torah? Even though the Kedushas HaYom is one of Yom Tov, what are you laying? You're laying the Parshas HaShavua, you're laying the Zos HaBracha. So Simchas Torah is unique in the sense that even though the Kedushas is one of Yom Tov, the Kriyas HaTorah is a Shabbos to Kriyas HaTorah. You're laying the Parshas HaShavua. And therefore, we generally assume the following principle, that a Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Tov does not lend itself to Hosafa. A Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos does. What's unique about Simchas Torah in our minhag is that Simchas Torah is a laning of the last parsha of the Chumash, of Shabbos Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, that is the one exception that we have to have Hosafas. With this in mind, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that many Achronim quote a minhag that you have, that let's say you have the Yom Tov Shechalios b'Shabbos. If Yom Tov should fall out on a Shabbos, so then do you have Hosafos or not? So there is a day that the Taz quotes that you do not. On Yom Tov Shechalios b'Shabbos, you don't add to the number of aliyos. So why should that be? Here Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that that's the flip side of the same argument, that even though it's Shabbos, and the sanctity of the day, the Kedusha Siyom is Shabbos, but what are you laying on Yom Tov Shechalios b'Shabbos? You're laying the Yom Tov Kriyas HaTorah. So that was the modification he pointed out, which is our general minhag. That you always look at what is the machayiv of the Kriyas HaTorah, what is the theme? If it's a Yom Tov theme, then we don't add to the Hosafos. However, when it comes to a Shabbos theme, then you do. And therefore, we normally have Hosafos when it comes to Shabbos, and when it comes to Simchas Torah. There is a comment that the Vilna Gaon mentions, and Rishonim mentioned this as well, and that is that you have to realize that the same Mishnah that mentions that there's a possibility of adding to the number of aliyos also points out that the minhag was, in the time of the Mishnah, that the first person who received the first aliyah recited the opening bracha, and the last person who recited the concluding aliyah, he recited the concluding bracha. And therefore, if you have Hosafos, you are not adding any extra brachas whatsoever. It just means that ending the aliyah prematurely, and someone else gets up and continues the Kriyas HaTorah. But the Gaon and the Ravan and others argue that if you have the practice that we do, where each Ola has a separate bracha, then perhaps there is more reason to discourage Hosafos, because then you are adding an additional bracha, which is not part of the takana of the seven aliyos. We generally assume that on Shabbos, certainly, that Hosafos are permissible, based on this view of Rashi and the Rav. So Rashi points out that the same criterion which determines when you're allowed to add to the number of aliyos, that also determines when you have a Haftorah. When people are running out to go to work, you are not allowed to have a Haftorah. However, when you're dealing with a day like Shabbos and Yom Tov, on Yom Kippur, where there is no consideration of Bittul Melacha, so then you have a Kriyas HaHaftorah. The Gemara never tells us explicitly what the purpose of reading the Haftorah is, and you find two prevalent views in the Rishonim as to what the basis of the practice of reciting Haftorah is. There is one view that you found, and this is mentioned in the Sefer HaPardes and Daf Shin Vav, and it's also quoted in the Shivolei Haleket, who argue with Sons. That there was a very common practice in earlier time that people didn't used to rush into davening and daven, conclude their davening and rush out. As the Gemara tells us in Brachos, that the Chasidim HaRishonim HaYushon Sha'achas, they would come to davening very early, and they would wait until they begin davening. And even once they concluded davening, they would wait before they would leave. And therefore, the Sefer HaPardes writes, and also the Shigula Haleket, it was a very common practice after davening to engage in Limud HaTorah, and specifically in the study of Tanakh. They would read Sukkim of Chumash, and Sukkim of Nevi'im, and Sukkim of Pesukim. What exactly was the problem? That as time went on, this practice became much, much more difficult. People were becoming slowly impoverished, and therefore it was necessary that people leave the shul earlier and go to work. And therefore, this practice that generally was assumed of engaging in Limud HaTorah immediately after davening was on the decline. So therefore the Sefer HaPardes, the Shigul HaLechet, writes the following Kiddush. We wanted to make sure at least that there would be some institution of Kriyas HaPsukim, of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim each day. So in terms of Kriyas HaTorah, so that the Sefer HaPardes writes that you read every day Psukim of Kriyashma in part of davening. And when it comes to reading Psukim of Ksuvim, well, much of Psukim is Imra. It's based on Psukim that we find from Sefer Tehillim, so therefore we fulfill that obligation as well. But where is it that you read Psukim from Divrei Nevi'im in davening? So this is why the Sefer HaPardes and the Shigul HaLechet write, this was the reason for the institution of reciting Uvah Letzion. That Uvah Letzion that we write at the conclusion of davening has in it Psukim from Divrei Nevi'im, and the purpose of that was to always mention each day Divrei Nevi'im in davening. That's what they argue. Okay. What is that? Right, it's true that you have others as well, but this was specifically instituted for that purpose. And then they then go a step further, that when did this need arise to have a separate institution in order to have psukim from Divrei Nevi'im? This was on a day that is mentioned, that after davening people were running to work. However, when you have a time where people are not in that hurry, on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov, or on Yom Kippur, so therefore, Chazra, Torah LaRosha, they reverted back to the original practice of publicly engaging in Limud HaNevi'im. And this was the purpose, they write, of the HaTorah. But when people are in a rush, so therefore they very quickly read Sukkim from Divrei Nevi'im. They read Uvah Letzion. However, when people were not, so therefore there was this institution that you find of the Kriyas HaTorah. This is the background that they write historically when the HaTorah was instituted. That's why they point out, interestingly, that on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, when you lay in a HaTorah, you don't say Uvah Letzion. Because the purpose of Uvah Letzion was three psukim in Divrei Nevi'im. So therefore, when you actually have a Kriyas HaTorah, it is not necessary. However, since there was a practice of reciting Uvah Letzion each day, it wasn't necessary to recite it during Shacharis. So whenever we lay in the HaTorah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and we don't recite Uvah Letzion during Shacharis, we always make sure to recite it at the beginning of Mincha. But this is what the Sefer HaPardes writes as the background for the institution of HaTorah. This is one view that you find. If you look, however, in the Sefer of Abudraham, and you find that there are others that mention this as well, Lavush mentions this, in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Pei Daled, that there's a very different reason that you find for the Kriyas HaTorah. But the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma that there is a necessity of regularly engaging in Kriyas HaTorah. And this was the regular practice, the Takanas Moshe, embellished by a Takanas Ezra, that they used to read the Torah on Shabbos, on Monday and Thursday. What happened? As a result of times of persecution, Jews were not allowed publicly to read from a Sefer Torah. And therefore, the Hudraham writes, as well as Lavush, the Tosas Yontif quotes this, here in the third paragraph of the Megillah, that this is where the practice of reading the HaTorah came from. That since it became difficult, if not impossible, to have a regular Kriyas HaTorah, so therefore, in order to serve as a substitute, a replacement for the Kriyas HaTorah, it was instituted that you have the Kriyas HaTorah. Apparently, that wasn't subject to the same degree of persecution that they were able to get away with, even though they couldn't have a regular Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore, on this basis, right, we lay the Torah on Shabbos as a substitute for the Kriyas HaTorah, which otherwise could not take place. Right, if you look in the Tosfos Yomtov, the quotes, the Sefer HaTishbi, that writes that this was during the time of the Greek persecutions, that there was an institution of reciting a HaTorah because of an inability to properly to go ahead and fulfill the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. In fact, the Abudraham writes that what is the language of HaTorah, what does the word the HaTorah mean? He writes it comes from Ptur, to exempt. That through the Kriyas HaTorah we are exempting ourselves from the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. The sins that became impossible to fulfill properly, this was the substitute that we have for the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. This is one view that you find that the actual word of HaTorah means to exempt, to be outside the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah through the reading of the HaTorah. There is another view that they mention, that the word Haftorah that Avraham says means to conclude. Just like we recite in the Haggadah of Ein Maftir Nachar HaPesach, HaPikolon, that this is considered to be a conclusion. So Haftorah is the conclusion of Avraham writes of the Tefillah Shachris, and afterwards we are about to start the Tefillah Musar. So therefore the Haftorah means the very conclusion, the conclusion of the Kriyas HaTorah, and in a more general sense, the conclusion, the Siyum, of the Tefillah Shachris. And that's the other view of Avraham means. Either Haftorah means to exempt you from the Kriyas HaTorah, to discharge that obligation otherwise you can't fulfill, or it means that this is now the conclusion. There's an interesting view which is quoted in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that the Gemara tells us in Sota that Kevan Shenifta Sefer Torah Asu Dadaver, that once the Sefer Torah is opened, no one is allowed to speak, and Rabbeinu Tam explains even in Divrei Halacha. So therefore, what does Haftorah mean? Haftorah means now, once the Kriyas HaTorah is concluded, and now you are Niftah, you are beginning the Haftorah, you are allowed Liftoah Ulegabah Bidvar Halacha. You're not allowed to speak Dvarim B'Teilim, but you're allowed to speak in areas of Divrei Halacha that you weren't allowed to do so during the Kriyas HaTorah. These are the various views that you find is very simply in terms of what is meant by the term Haftorah, but more importantly, what is the basis of the Haftorah? Either it was to make sure that time was set aside to learn Divrei Nevi'im, or it was for the purpose, as Avraham writes, that this was a substitute to some extent that you have of the Kriyas HaTorah. Even though historically it was instituted as a substitute for the Kriyas HaTorah, it is interesting that we assume the halacha that unless you have a Kriyas HaTorah, you are not allowed to lay a Haftorah with brachos. This is what the Tshuva Sarashbar writes in the Chelek Aleph and Tshuva Tav Pei Zayin. And this is how we assume, this is what the Ramah writes in Reish Pei Dalet, that you're not allowed to have a Kriyas HaTorah with its brachos unless you have a Kriyas HaTorah which precedes it. This sometimes comes up, people will be together, for example, for a Shabbos, and they don't have a Sefer Torah, so they can't have a Kriyas HaTorah. Are they allowed to lay in the Haftorah? So Tshuva Sarashbar writes, and Ramah quotes us lahalacha, that no, that it may very well be that historically that was the basis of its institution, but we assume that today that doesn't apply. Today we are free to engage in fulfillment of Kriyas HaTorah. We only preserve this practice that we have of laying the Haftorah when it follows the Kriyas HaTorah that you find. These are the various possibilities for simply what the basis of the Haftorah is. As the Avraham mentions that to some extent the Kriyas HaTorah is an extension and a substitute if necessary for the Kriyas HaParsha. And this is a very important requirement which the Gemara mentions in Megillah and Daf Chavches in the days, that the theme of the Haftorah has to reflect the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah. One of the challenges that you find, sometimes it's more obvious than others, whenever you lay in a Haftorah, is to be able to determine why it was that this Haftorah was chosen, and what relationship it has to the Kriyas HaTorah. Because the Gemara tells us clearly in Megillah and Daf Chavches in the days, the Gemara comments as follows, that if you have Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechal Lihios B'Shabbos, when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, so then Korin B'Parsha Shkolim, right, then you're obligated to read Parsha Shkolim, right, the special Kriyas HaTorah that you have for Maftir. And the Gemara comments, U'Maftirim B'Yahuyada HaKohen, and therefore it is for that reason that we lay in that Haftorah, because that also deals with a similar thing. Because the Gemara points out that whenever you lay in the Haftorah, it is necessary that the theme of the Haftorah has to reflect the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah. This is true according to everyone, and certainly understandable according to what the Avraham mentions, that if the purpose of the Haftorah was to serve as a replacement, a substitute for Kriyas HaTorah, because at times they couldn't lay in the Torah, so therefore it was crucial that it was necessary in order to have the theme of the Haftorah parallel and match the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah. This also is quoted by Halacha and Perek Yud-Gimel Hilchos Tefillah by the Rambam, that the theme of the Haftorah has to reflect the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah. This also is a comment that is pointed out in the Sefer Hamani, where the Baal Hamani writes that this is true for every Haftorah that you find beginning with Sefer Bereishis until Shivasar B'Tammuz. That's what the Baal Hamani writes. All of those Haftorahs always reflect the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah, beginning with Shivasar B'Tammuz, you have the Shlosha, the Paranusa, and the Shiva, the Nechemta, you have the series of the ten Haftaros that don't directly necessarily parallel the Kriya Satorah, but rather it deals with the theme of the 3 weeks commemorating the Churban Habayis, and then the period of the Nechama, the Shiva, the Nechemta, leading up to the conclusion of the year. But barring the end of the year, the Balamanik writes, it is essential that you find that the theme of the Haftorah parallel the Parshas HaShavuah, and as mentioned, the Budram writes, that was the very purpose that you find of the Kriyas HaTorah, to parallel the obligation that you have of Kriyas HaTorah. There are other cases also where you find a direct parallel between the Haftorah and the Kriyas HaTorah. This is something that the Gemara mentions in Megillah and Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, that how many psukim do you have for the Kriyas HaTorah? We know, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma and Daf Pei Beis, that it's necessary whenever you have an aliyah, that an aliyah has to have at least 3 psukim. What about the length of the HaTorah? How long must that be? So the Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph toward the bottom, that Hamachir bin Avni lo yifos mi esem b'yechad psukim. A HaTorah cannot be any shorter than 21 psukim. And what is the basis of that? So the Gemara comments, Kenege Shiva Shekaru B'Torah, Kenege the 7 aliyos that you have. That you have normally on Shabbos 7 aliyos, each one that has a minimum of 3 psukim. And therefore, if the purpose of the HaTorah is to parallel the Kriyas HaTorah, one requirement is that it is necessary in theme, and also is necessary in the amount of psukim that you have. So therefore, the Gemara points out that all things being equal, the number of psukim that you have should be at least 21, corresponding to the psukim that is the minimum of a Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara... Right, there are many Haftorahs that you find that don't exactly fit into that requirement. It's true. There are about a dozen Haftorahs that you find that seems to go against this rule. The Gemara does mention one exception, and this is what seems to accommodate for that. That the Gemara tells us in the Gimel Beis, in the third line down, the Gemara raises this question about a particular Haftorah near Miyahu, and the Gemara answers, the Shani Hasan the Sadlik Inyana. That Haftorah is different because that they already finished, they concluded the theme of the Haftorah before they reached 21 psukim. So the Gemara comments that all things being equal, you should always have 21 psukim, with the exception of Salik and Yana. If the theme of the Haftorah is concluded already, then there is no need to begin a new, less relevant or extraneous theme just to accommodate that number 21. But you're right, there are a number of occasions that you have that this is true. There is a tshuva that the Maran Padua has, that if this is the reason for the number 21, then it helps us on Yontif, because often you find that the Haftorah on Yontif is also shorter. So he points out, well, on Yontif you only have 5 aliyos, and therefore the number on Yontif, this is not mentioned in the Gemara, but the Haftorah of Yontif would only have to have a total of 15 psukim. It wouldn't have to meet that requirement of the 21 psukim. But this is another example that you find where there is a parallel between the obligation of the Kriyas HaTorah and the obligation that we have to lay the Torah as well. There is another, and that is the brachos that you recite. Right? One of the unusual features that you find when it comes to the HaTorah is that the HaTorah is surrounded by brachos. How many brachos do you have in total? So the Masechet Sofrim points out in the very beginning of Perek Yudalid that you have in the HaTorah a total of 7 brachos. How do you get the total of 7 brachos? So the Masechet Sofrim argues as follows, that the person who gets the aliyah of reading the Haftorah, he gets maftir, he recites 2 brachos. A bracha lefaneha, a bracha lachareha, so that's 2. And then 1 bracha is recited before the Haftorah, which is 3. And then you have 4 brachos which follow the Haftorah, a total of 7. And therefore the Masechet Sofrim stresses that it's keneged the shiva kruim, the 7 aliyahs that you have on Shabbos, that the Chachamim instituted 7 brachos that you have in the Haftorah. Because again, this is another example that you have of the parallel between the obligation of the Kriyas HaTorah to a idea that you have of the Torah. And therefore the number of brachos which are recited in conjunction with the HaTorah are 7, connected to Shiva Kruim. Tosis quotes this in the Kuf Dalet and Avrik Selkim as well, but the sources in the Sefer Sofrim and Perek Yidalet.
That's
Right. We'll see that the last bracha right is a bracha which only mentions Shabbat, only when the Machayiv of the Kriyas HaTorah is there. We mentioned a few weeks ago, Rabbi Kiveger has a suffix in his tshuvas, and that is, what is the machayev of the Kriyas HaTorah in the Kriyas HaHaftorah on Mincha, right, on Yom Kippur? So Shloveitchik pointed out, l'chora, this is exactly the machlokas between the Machaber and the Rama of how you end the brachos of the HaTorah at Mincha on Yom Kippur. That if you follow the practice of the Machaber, you end Al HaTorah Val HaAvodah, and therefore you see that the machayev of the HaTorah is Yom Kippur. But if you follow the Menei Ashkenaz, then you conclude the HaTorah not with Al HaTorah Val HaAvodah, just with Magen David. Why? Because our practice is that Lomdus, the machayev of the Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha on Yom Kippur, is the fact that Yom Kippur is a Tainus Tzibur. And therefore we end with Magen David. Soloveitchik pointed out this also accounts for the two minhagim of what trup you use when you lay the Kriyas HaTorah on Mincha, on Yom Kippur. Do you use the Yom Kippur trup, or do you use the regular Kriyas HaTorah? So our general minhag is to use the regular Kriyas HaTorah trup. Why? Because we conclude the HaTorah with Magen David, and therefore the Machayev of the Kriyas HaTorah is not Yom Kippur, but the Machayev of the Kriyas HaTorah is the Tainus Tzibur, and therefore you lay in that way. This is the suffix of Rabbi Kiveger, whether a person is not fasting, as we discussed in Shivasa B'Tammuz, that assuming a person who is not fasting cannot get an aliyah on a fast day, is he allowed to get an aliyah at Mincha on Yom Kippur? So that's the suffix of Rabbi Kiveger. What is the machayev of the Kriyas HaTorah? Is it because the Kedusha Sayyim of Yom Kippur, and then even a person who is not fasting can? Or should you assume no, that the machayev is the tainus? So Soloveitchik pointed out that the Menei Ashkenaz, to conclude the HaTorah, not with the bracha of Kedusha Sayyim, to conclude the bracha with Magen David. So that's because the machayev is tainus, the regular truck is used, and one who is not fasting should not receive the aliyah for Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha on Yom Kippur. Right, that is a different takana. That to have a haftorah for Mincha on a tainus. Tosis points out that the purpose there is to be in the order tshuva. The purpose of fasting is not fasting per se, but it's supposed to elicit a certain response, and therefore specifically you read Nidivrei Nevi'im in order to be able to elicit that response of tshuva. And therefore Tosis. What is that?
Why a Tisha B'Av morning and not a regular?
Right, we'll have to discuss that. It's true that Tisha B'Av is unique in that sense, that then you have a double machayev for the Haftorah. But normally Tosis points out, for various reasons, the Haftorah on a Tainus is only at Mincha, because that's when the Tainus is felt, that's after a person already has been Noder Tzedakah during the Tainus. Right, but on Yom, that doesn't apply on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av we generally assume that there certainly the Machayev is the Tainus, and one who is fasting is one who should participate in getting the Aliyahs and getting the Haftar as well. There is a view that you find in the Sam Sofer that writes that just as on Yom Kippur a person can get an Aliyah even if he's not fasting, because the Kedusha Sayyum is the Machayev in Shacharis, there is a tshuva that Sam Sofer writes, similar when it comes to a Tisha B'Av as well. There, the Machayev is not just simply a Tainus, it's the Chaloshem. You can't really call it Kedusha Sayyum, but you can call it the Chaloshem that the Yom has. To some extent, Asiyas Malacha should be avoided, even though it's a different type of Asiyas Malacha. And Sam Sofer writes possibly that even one who is not fasting can get an aliyah even on Tisha B'Av itself. And we generally don't assume the halacha. The Kveger writes Mepurish in the Tshuvas. His only suffix is on Yom Kippur, because specifically there it's a different type of Kriyas HaTorah altogether, but not when it comes to Tisha B'Av. This is the reason, this is the requirement. Yeah. Right, that's true. It is, Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, as the repulsion, the horror, the fact that you have the Haftorah altogether seems to indicate that the Machayev is unique because it's a time of Sibra. Because that's the time that you normally find. There was a minhag that the Rishon discussed, Tosafot discusses an old minhag of sometimes having a Haftorah on Shabbos and Mincha. But we don't have that practice, and nonetheless, we still do continue the practice of having
the Machayev of Haftorah. What is the
Right. Right. I mean, that's the issue that Rabbi Kadega raises. He assumes that Rapos should, in the morning it certainly is Yom Kippur. This whole suffix is, what about when it comes to Mincha? The Markeshis discusses that maybe the Haftorah certainly, Markeshis says, two Gersos in the Mordechai. The Mordechai discusses this issue, and there are two Gersos in the Mordechai, whether the Mordechai says the Machayev of the Priyasa Torah is the kind of Sibur, or the Machayev of the Haftorah is the finest seed. Two Gersos that you have. Markeshis discusses at length that maybe the Haftorah should serve somewhat as a raya that you have. There is another important comment that you find, and that explains the different minhagim that we have in terms of what Haftorah is read, that the Sefer HaEshkol writes, this is also quoted in the Kesef Mishnah of the Tefillah in Perek Yabez, that all the Gemara says that we saw is that there is a necessary parallel that you find between the theme of the Haftorah and the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara requires Bididamile. You have to read something that reflects the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah. But the Sefer Eshkol writes, this is what the Kesef Mishnah points out, that there were various practices in terms of what was read for a Haftorah. You don't find in earlier times one set Kriya that is necessary for this particular Parshas HaShavua. All the Gemara says the requirement is Bididamile, that it has to reflect it. So the Gemara gives you a few examples of how a Haftorah can reflect what you find in the Kriyas HaTorah. But the Sefer Eshkol writes, and later the Kesef Mishnah, that this is why so often you find that the Sephardim will have a practice to read this Haftorah, and the Ashkenazim read that, because you never find in the Gemara a set text that is necessary to lay for the Haftorah. All there is this general parallel, which is reflected in the number of psukim and in the number of brachos that you find and in the theme. But yet there isn't a requirement that you have to lay a particular navi on that particular Shabbos. This was something instituted much later, and that's why a lot of different minhagim were preserved in terms of what to lay. All of them you will find, the minute that the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim do meet that requirement of the Dizamilei, that there is a link between the theme of the Kriyas HaTorah and what you find in the Kriyas HaTorah. Tosus also points out that there is another important question. This is what the Gemara raises in Megillah and Daf, Chafgin Lamarala, and that is the question of Iboyuhu Maftir Ma'u Shiyala Laminyan Shiva. Does Maftir count as one of the seven aliyahs? We know, as the Mishnah tells us, that on Shabbos you have seven aliyahs. So what exactly does that mean? Does it mean you have a total of seven and the last one is Maftir? Or does it mean that in addition to the seven you have an extra aliyah? So this is the question the Gemara raises. The Gemara points out that this is a machlokas amoraim between Rav Huna and Rav Yirmi of Bar Abba. That Chadam are Ola, the Chadam are Eino Ola, that one assumes that yes, the Maftir is aliyah number seven. Another assumes no, in addition to the Shiva Kruim you have to have another one. The Gemara raises the following question. But we just got through saying that because there is a parallel between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Torah, therefore you always try to make sure that the number of psukim in the Kriyas HaTorah should parallel the number of minimal psukim that you find right in the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara says that that means that a HaTorah has to have at least 21 psukim. So the Gemara now raises the following question, that the Imisa, and if you will say that what? That Maftir is above and beyond the seven Kruim, so therefore, Esrim Barbo Havyam. You should require 24 Psukim in a Haftorah, because on every Shabbos you have 8 Aliyahs, you have the 7 of the Parsha, and then you have an additional one of Maftir, and therefore the 8 times 3 should be 24. So the Gemara wants to prove that from the fact that Haftorah only has to have 21 Psukim, that apparently you see that the Maftir is the 7th Aliyah, it is not the 8th. So the Gemara answers that no. Kevin de Mishum Kvot Torahu. So Kinegdo Nami Loboy. Since the purpose of reading the Maftir is Mishum Kvot Torah, it's in order to accord special honor to the Torah that the one who reads the Maftir shouldn't just read Divrei Nevi'im. He should also receive an Aliyah. So therefore, it is not necessary, the Gemara says, that you have to have three extra psukim corresponding to the last aliyah. That's what the Gemara answers. So even if you assume that Maftir is not part of the seven, that you have Shiva Kruim, and then in addition to that you have an eighth aliyah, nonetheless, you only require 21 psukim for the Kriyas HaTorah. Why? Because the Gemara comments the only reason you have the Maftir is because of Kvod HaTorah. That the person who goes ahead and reads the HaTorah should first have received an Aliyah. Therefore, the Gemara will mention later that it's inappropriate to start the Kriyas HaTorah until the Torah is fully wrapped. Because you have to demonstrate proper Kvod HaTorah before you start engaging in the Divrei Nevi'im. Tosus is bothered by a very interesting question, and the answer Tosus writes is a very big Yiddish. Tosus is bothered by the following. The Gemara was bothered by this. How come a HaTorah only has to have 21 psukim? A HaTorah should really have 24 psukim. Why? Because you have 7 aliyos, and you have Maftir. So the Gemara gives an answer. Well, the only reason the Maftir has to lane is Mishum Kvod HaTorah. And since it's Mishum Kvod HaTorah, you don't have to count it independently as another 3 psukim. So Tosus says the Gemara should have given a very simple aliyah. A very simple answer. What is that? That Maftir doesn't read anything new. All the Maftir does is repeat that which was already read. No? A Parsha has to have 21 psukim. Why? Because you have to have 7 alleles, and each one has 3 psukim. What about the Maftir? The Maftir is not reading anything new. The Maftir is just reading the last few psukim that you find. So of course you don't have to have 24 psukim for the Haftorah, because the Kriyas HaTorah only has to have 21 psukim. 21 for the 7 alleles, and then the Maftir, he's going to read Pasuk 19, 20, and 21. So of course you don't have to go ahead and do that. No, that's Tosfos Kasha. So why does the Gemara give you, right, another answer of the reason a Maftir gets Aliyah is Mishum Kvod HaTorah? Why not simply say that a Maftir doesn't read anything new at all? Tosfos assumes that the Maftir doesn't read anything new.
Why
Because if the only reason that you require 21 is because that's the minimum length of the Kriyas HaTorah, then the minimum length of the Parsha of the Torah is 21. Because all you have is 7 aliyahs. Right? How many psukim do you have to have for Kriyas HaTorah? What's the minimum psukim that you have for Kriyas HaTorah?
Why start here if you have to read something new?
No, because how many psukim do you have in the Kriyas HaTorah?
Why does Kriyas HaTorah have to be 21? You need 7 aliyos.
Right. You need 7 aliyos. Each one has to be 3.
Yes. They cannot, those 3 to be, some of those 3 reductions each other end up 19 total. But you don't have
Shkodesh. Right. So that's an exception to the rule. Yo, Shkodesh, the Gemara has a very big problem. That's what the Gemara raises here also in the third paragraph. The Gemara says, no, Shkodesh, you have no choice. So either Doleg or Posek. But you never find a Kriyas HaTorah of 7 where you employ Doleg or Posek. A Kriyas HaTorah of 7 is always at least 7 times 3. So the Gemara says you need 21. Now, all you need is 21 for 7 times 3 plus Maftir. Because in Maftir, all you're doing is repeating. If there would be a requirement that Maftir had additional psukim, then you would have to take 8 times 3, as the Gemara asks. But if all you're doing is repeating, so therefore, what is the minimum number of psukim the Parsha has to have? The answer is 21. And therefore, if you're saying that the HaTorah has to parallel the Kriyas HaTorah, that's the answer to the Kasha. That explains this price. The Gemara quotes, you'll need a total of 21. So why doesn't the Gemara give that simple answer? So Tosus writes, a very big Yiddish, Tosus writes, in the last Tosus in the Gila, and after Gimel, that Bimei Tanayim Hayamafter Kori Mashlo Kararishon. Apparently, you see from the Gemara that in the time of the Tanayim, the practice was not to do as we did. But the practice was that Maftir read something new. That he didn't used to go ahead and conclude the Parsha and then read over again. But Maftir used to read the concluding psukim of the Parsha. So now the Gemara's practice is a good Kasha. If in Maftir you are reading something new, so then you should require 7 plus Maftir times 3. You should have 24 psukim. That's what Tosus says. This is the Gemara's Kasha. And in fact, Tosus points out that there was another change. And that was the following. When did they used to go ahead and say Kaddish? Well, you always say Kaddish once you are Solik in Yana. Once the theme, the topic is concluded. So we know that when you finish the Parsha, then you say Kaddish. But Tosus says that wasn't the practice in the time of the Tanaim. They used to recite the Chatzi Kaddish not before Maftir, but after Maftir, because Maftir was reading the last psukim of the Parsha, and only after Maftir they used to go ahead and have a Kaddish, just like we normally say the Kaddish after the Kriyas HaTorah is fully concluded. So now this is a problem. All of a sudden, Tosfos writes that Bimei HaChachamim, everything changed? Why was that? That our practice is not to follow the practice of the Tanaim. We go ahead and have a master just repeating the psukim that were read. And furthermore, now, since we're repeating the psukim that were already read, what is it that we end the Kriyas HaTorah? With the last Aliyah, with Shvi. So now we have to change the placement of Kaddish also. Kaddish is recited before the Haftorah. So Tosfos writes, why in the world did we do everything? So Tosfos writes a very interesting parallel. That the Gemara has a machlokas that you find in Brachos, in the fourth parak, of whether Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, or whether Tfilas Arvis is a Chovah. The Gemara has a machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, and Brachos, and Afkav Zayin Hebein. How do we assume the halacha? Mikra Divina, we assume that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. So therefore, Tosfos writes in the very beginning of Brachos, Chazal wanted to demonstrate that Tfilas Arvis is not on par with the obligation of Shacharis and Mincha. So how do they do so? By purposely instituting Baruch Hashem Le'olam and purposely instituting a Kaddish that serves as a hefsek in between Gal Yisrael and Shmon Esrei to demonstrate the view that you have of Rabbi Yeshua that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. That's what Tosfos explains. Why is it that Chacham instituted a bracha Baruch Hashem Le'olam? After all, isn't there a requirement of Soma Gula Tfila? In Shacharis, you're not allowed to speak at all between the bracha of Gal Yisrael and Shmon Esrei. So why all of a sudden Marav did they institute Baruch Hashem Le'olam? Zeinachinami, many Rishonim assume that you don't say Baruch Hashem Le'olam. The Rambam doesn't have it, the Ramban doesn't have it, the Minhag HaGra is not to recite it. But Tosfos writes it was precisely instituted in order to demonstrate that Marav is different from the obligations of Shacharis and Mincha because Marav is only Rishus. So Tosfos says that's exactly what happens when it comes to Machter. That the Gemara quotes that there is a machlokas whether Machter is Olam Min HaMinyan or Machter is Eino Olam Min HaMinyan. How do we paskin that Machter is Eino Olam Min HaMinyan? Machter is not, technically speaking, really one of the Aliyos. So what did the Chachamim do to demonstrate that Machter is Eino Olam Min HaMinyan? They purposely recited Kaddish before the Maftir to show you that the real Mechayiv of Kriyas HaTorah has already come to a conclusion. And therefore, what did it become necessary to do? To finish the Kriyas HaTorah with seven Aliyos, then to recite Kaddish, and then to go ahead and now to have a Maftir post-Kaddish, which is just repeating the psukim that we already read. But Tosfos writes, very interestingly, this was a later change that was not true in the time of the Tanaim. The time of the Tanaim, they used to go ahead and do, right, simply to conclude the Kriyas HaTorah with Maftir, and then to have a Kaddish, which is afterwards. In fact, the reason for this seems to be based on the following combination. What do we do, for example, on a Tainus? But we also have a Haftorah. But there, what do? We don't add an Aliyah. There, the Maftir gets the third Aliyah. So why is that? So it seems to be based on the following. That as we began with, that normally speaking, one is not allowed to have Hosefos. Certainly on a regular day, and certainly on a Tainus, you're not allowed to add the number of Aliyahs. So then we have no choice but to follow the strict practice that the Maftir is the concluding Aliyah. But since on Shabbos and Yom Tov, as Rashi writes, you are allowed, technically speaking, to have Hosefos, because there is no consideration of Bita Malacha, so once you're allowed to add, have a Hosefa in any case, so therefore Chazal went ahead and the time of Amoraim made it that Machter really is a Hosefa. And therefore the Parsha is concluded beforehand, and you have Kaddish in between, and now you have the Maftir. But any time you're not allowed to add to the number of Aliyahs and you have a Haftorah, for example on a Tanis Sibur, you are not allowed to do that. Then you follow the straight practice that you found in the time of the Tanaim, that you read the number of Aliyahs required, three Aliyahs, and the Maftir is the third Aliyah. It's not above and beyond what you found. This is an interesting change that Tosfos mentions when it comes to the way the Maftir was fulfilled in the times of the Tanaim as opposed to the way that it was instituted later. But I want to continue with, we won't have time to deal with this whole theme, and that is in terms of Hashkaf and in terms of Lumbus, what exactly is the purpose of having a Kriyas HaTorah. We once discussed, right, many weeks ago, the whole notion of Kriyas HaTorah. Where the Gemara says, on what basis was there a takana of Moshe and the Nevi'im together in his generation to read the Torah on Shabbos and Monday and Thursday, based on the Pasuk God, Vayochol Shlosh Yom B'Midbar V'Lamatzamayim. The Bnei Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar, and they didn't have water. So the Gemara comments, the Darshei Rishumo Salmin, that Ein Mayim Ela Torah. But this is a reference to Torah, and you can't go 3 days without hearing Divrei Hashem, without Shmias Divrei Torah. Just like a person can't go 3 days without drinking, Torah is so vital, it's not considered to be a luxury. It's considered to be as necessary for survival as water is. And therefore, on that basis, there was a takana of Kriyas HaTorah. There's something very striking about that, but we'll have to discuss at length. And that is that when did this take place? Vayochol Shloshim Zimrim L'Matzamayim, the takana of Kriyas HaTorah, even before Kabbalah HaTorah. Even before Kabbalah HaTorah, and even before Mitzvah Talmud Torah, there was a takana of Kriyas HaTorah. The Bnei Yisrael already had certain partials of the Torah, and they regularly, on Shabbos, Monday and Thursday, laying those partials of the Torah. And Slavetchik developed a great length that you see that the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah is not simply one of just Talmud Torah. Vaharaya that the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah preceded Kabbalah HaTorah, preceded the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We'll have to try to understand what that basis of obligation is. Once you understand that, or Slavetchik argued, then you can understand the purpose of having the Kriyas HaTorah. That it not only relates to the Kriyas HaTorah in terms of its content, in terms of the number of brachos, in terms of the number of psukim, but it also relates to the Kriyas HaTorah in terms of what it is trying to accomplish. The obligation of Shmias Dvar Hashem, even irrespective of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So next time we'll have to continue with this thing. After we finish off the introductory topics, then we'll have to go through week by week the prescribed Haftarah for the Parsha. We'll always have to ask ourselves this question that Gemara raises, the obligation of B'Dedamileh. What parallels do you find where the Navi is simply echoing the lesson that you find which is mentioned in the Parsha Sashavu?